Bible.com.
Okay, you got me. Glad you're with us today. We are in week three. I should probably start counting because the number is going to keep getting higher and higher, and then you're going to be like, okay, how much longer is this going to go? But we're in another week of our Jesus and our mental health series. And today is a little bit of an overview, not an overview, but a setup, I guess, in some ways, for the weeks ahead. I hope that this morning you'll find this helpful. I know it was a good thing for me to kind of consider the material and the thoughts that are going to be shared today. So in preparation for the series, I read a book that was called, still is called, Own Your Past, Change Your Future. And it's by psychologist and author, radio host, podcast guy named John Deloney. And Bob and Rachel actually shared the book with me, and I read it in like half a day. It was really, really good, and I loved it for many different reasons. First of all, it's written by a guy who has battled his own mental health issues, specifically anxiety, but some others. And so he speaks from experience when he writes these things. And I liked what he had to say was, I know your life is different than mine. My story and your story, my story is your story and your story is my story, because everyone is struggling with something. Everyone's struggling with something. He's a Christian guy. Part of the Dave Ramsey organization, he references his faith, but doesn't like quote Bible verses or anything like that. But to me, I think that's significant that he comes from a faith perspective. You know, if we're going to consider counseling, psychology, that sort of thing, having that foundational basis of Christ and the ultimate importance of everything in life, I think that's important to ensure that who we're hearing from is coming at things with the right heart and the right mindset, something that's going to help us move forward in our faith as well as in the issues that we face. But the main reason that I love this book is that it focuses on steps we can take in our struggles, right? Like, I think we often recognize, okay, we got something going on in our life. We got issues. But we don't know how to move forward, right? And one of his big things on his radio show is asking the person he's talking to. It's a call-in type show, but oftentimes after they talk for a while, he'll kind of answer the question like, what's the right next step? What's the right next step? And I think this book kind of embodies that philosophy. So Own Your Past, Change Your Future. Now, when I heard that title, even before reading the book, I thought of this passage from Philippians 3. Paul writing here says this, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, forgetting what lies behind, straining towards what lies ahead. And, you know, when Paul wrote this, he's kind of talking about his salvation and his pursuit of Christ, but also his past life, recounting his life experiences before he came to know Jesus. And he says, now I consider all that like rubbish. I consider it trash. He counted it all as loss. It was in the past. Now, that doesn't mean he ignored that part of his life, right? It wasn't like shove that down, forget it, don't even think about it. He mentions this past numerous times in Scripture. It's part of his testimony and how he talks about how he came to know Jesus. He acknowledged how he was a guy who hunted down and killed Christians. Like, Scripture talks about that. We get the stories of Paul pursuing believers before he came to know Christ. He considered himself the chief of all sinners. So Paul owned his past, right? He owned all of it. But at a certain point, once he came to faith, he also realized there was a future that Christ was calling him to. And he no longer focused on those things of the past. He was setting that aside for what lay ahead of him. Okay? Own your past, change your future. Now, as far as the book goes, I highly recommend it. It's going to be in the resource page on our website at the end. During announcements, we flash up the resource page. You can QR code it there. It's on our website connected to this series. So if you're looking for these resources, you don't have to frantically write everything down that's being said, but we're trying to provide as much help that way as possible. There's tons of things on there, and we keep adding to it as the series goes along. So, but the book is, again, Own Your Past, Change Your Future. And here are the five steps. I'm going to just work through a little bit this morning the five steps or five in the process that he talks about. Okay, so own your stories, acknowledge reality, get connected, change your thoughts, change your actions. Okay, he acknowledges right in the book, like, this is a really simple strategy. It's not complicated at all, but it's really, really hard to genuinely journey through this stuff. Right? And the good news is, as followers of Christ, we get to do it with the Lord's help and leading each step of the way. So, again, I want to kind of walk through this a bit this morning. And again, part of these things that you're going to hear this morning, there'll be bits and pieces of it that come out in the weeks ahead as we deal with real specific issues. But I didn't want us to miss, like, you know, miss the forest through the trees and not hear kind of the whole process as a whole. So, again, I pray this is going to be helpful for you. So first step, own your stories. Own your stories. Our stories are pretty central to our lives. Like, we have many different stories that make up our history. They include things like the situation in life we were born into, right? And that could be healthy, that could be destructive, or somewhere in between. It includes the things we've been told by others, comments that have been made, things we've been taught, whether true or false. It includes the events that have happened to us in our lives, whether they're good and positive or bad and traumatic. And our stories include the beliefs that we have that we tell ourselves, right? Whether they're right or wrong. These are all different stories from our lives, and they all affect us. And as John Delaney says in his book, our stories are the problem, right? Our stories are the problem. Like, look, we're fallen, sinful people. We've wounded others. We've been wounded by others. We struggle with mental health. We often, our struggles will stem from those stories, those things we've experienced in life. And we have to own that. That's where it starts. And Paul says, the book says, own that, all of it, but like Paul, right, like he did. That requires some digging, like deep sometimes into our past experiences to make sense of things. So I didn't share all this last week, but I've been kind of using a story or an instance from my own life that has been a struggle, and I'm going to go back to that again because I think it helps, you know, bring some example to this process that's being talked about. So I mentioned a couple of times that a friendship of mine that I struggled with at the end of it a few years ago, how painful it was and how confusing it was and that sort of thing. It was just one part of a difficult season in my own life, right? I had this low-frequency frustration that was constantly humming in the background of my life. And this was just one part of it, but I couldn't really shake it. So I was challenged to consider my life growing up and to see maybe why it was such a big deal to me. You know, again, I even thought for myself, like, this shouldn't be such a problem, but for whatever reason, it was there. So I kind of went back. At first, I kind of dismissed the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. My childhood has nothing to do with this. Right? This is just hurt from this instance. But looking back through my life, I realized I had this trail of losses of friendships that deeply affected me. So I want to share a couple of them with you. Earliest memory that I could think of in this way was probably first grade, right? I had this friend who We walked to school every day. I kind of met at their house on the way to school, and you know, we just walked the rest of the way. They were in the same grade, that sort of thing. I had done that most of 1 year. I went back. We didn't really hang out in the summer, but I went back to school when the fall started, and I stopped by, knocked on the door, and they no longer lived there. Right? They had moved over the summer. I had no clue, and it was just like a confusing moment. I was young, not a big deal, but it was odd, right? They were just gone. A couple of years later, I had a neighborhood friend that spent the summer in our neighborhood, and I vividly remember the sadness of them leaving when the summer ended. Like, we had spent time together all summer, and now it was like done, and they were gone. They didn't live anywhere near there, only there for the summer. In sixth grade, I connected with a guy who quickly became what I would say was probably my best childhood friend, right? We did everything together for years, until sophomore year. And then in sophomore year in high school, he just, like, turned on me, right, for some reason, no apparent reason. Just picked other friends and then kind of started acting like a jerk toward me. The climax of that time was a time that, just to be funny, he spit in my face in the shower after football practice, right? Like, I had shampoo in my hair, which I did have hair back then, right? But I had shampoo in my hair and in my eyes, and I got spit in the face. I was so mad, I just turned and swung at him. I didn't even realize who did it at the time. I turned and swung at him, except for I hit somebody else, right? Like, in the shoulder, they were fine. But, you know, I was so mad that, and he's laughing, right? And so are a bunch of people. But I'm in the shower, spit and shampoo in my eyes, betrayed by this guy who used to be my best friend. I was so embarrassed somebody would do that to me, but more significantly, that was him. And I was ashamed for swinging at the guy that I did, right? Like, just, that's kind of the end of that friendship, right? Now, we lost touch. He transferred schools after that year. And then early in college, he died in a car accident that involved driving drunk. And I remember going to the visitation and just thinking, like, I don't know what happened. We used to be really good friends. You know, like, there was this unresolved conflict that I would never get an answer for. My senior year in high school, two of my closest friends attended other schools. Like, we all attended different schools, but we were all really close friends. And we hung out whenever we could, did a lot of things together. Full transparency, both of them were girls because I was mature. I really liked one of them, actually, liked one of them. She liked me too, but we never dated. Like, she didn't want to date anyone in high school, and that was a whole story of itself. But the three of us were really, really good friends. At some point late in our senior year, she developed some serious health issues and got, like, dangerously sick really fast. It was bad. She always tried to be tough and handle things on her own, like many of us do. So she didn't tell me. So one day I call the house just to talk to her like any normal day. Her mom answers the phone. She told me that my friend was sleeping and wasn't feeling well. And I left a pretty casual message, just like, hey, if she wants to call me when she's up, she can, but it's not a big deal. All of a sudden, from that moment on, my two best friends in the whole world wouldn't talk to me. Like, wouldn't return phone calls. There was no such thing as cell phones and texts and internet at the time. Right, I found out through someone else that she was really sick. And I tried to reach out, but there was, like, no response. And for a couple of months, probably for, like, 2 months of my senior year, I was kind of like a zombie. I had other friends. But I couldn't believe what was happening because my heart was ripped out, right? Like, I just lost, like, my two best friends, and I didn't even know why. Now, it turns out, her mom didn't realize that I didn't know that she was sick. So her mom was really upset when I left that very casual message, feeling like I just didn't care. And apparently that's what got communicated to her. So I found that out because we eventually did patch things up. But to be honest, after that, those friendships, they were never the same. They were never the same. I had a similar experience with a relative a few years later, right? Conflict comes up between us, kind of tears apart our relationship, and again, no explanation. I could not get an explanation for what I did to cause anything. Now I have other experiences I could share, but I think you kind of get the picture, right? So when this guy friend disappeared on me like a couple of years ago, it was stirring up all kinds of hurt from my past that I didn't even realize I had. Right? Like I was just finally starting to crack at this stuff. It wasn't just losing a friend. It was also the not understanding why. Why? What did I do? What's wrong with me? And losing him as a friend in an unknown way was like that, was like another gob of spit in the face. Right? It magnified all kinds of hurt from stories in my life that I had already, that were already going on below the surface. And like, look, that's just one thing that was going on at the time. Like, I don't want to make it sound like my whole world was falling apart because of that one thing, but it was pretty significant. And the thing is, we all have stories like this in our lives, right? We all have experienced chaos and neglect and grief and loneliness and loss. We've been cheated on, we've been dumped, we've been abandoned, we've been yelled at, we've been hit, we've been laughed at, overlooked, bullied, ignored, looked down on. We've believed lies about our self-image and our self-worth that have embedded themselves into the fabric of our being. We also have things that we do to protect ourselves from experiencing that same pain all over again, right? Patterns that we establish in our lives. Now, we have good stories too, right? I don't want to dismiss that, and I don't want to make light of that, but the painful ones scar us. They stick. And the reality is, if we want to pursue like a wellness, we have to own our stories in order to move forward, right? Examining our lives and owning our stories. Like that first step is like the first half of the book, right? It's like the most important starting point. We have to own our stories. The second step, and these will go a little quicker, is acknowledging reality. Acknowledging reality. See, our reality has a gap in it, like a gap between how we wanted things to be or our expectations of how things were going to be in our life, and then how they actually turned out. Like we had expectations in our marriage, in our jobs, in our ministries, in our friendships, and even in our mental health, right? We had expectations. And a lot of times things don't turn out the way we expected. Now we need to acknowledge that reality, the reality of our stories, of our lives, and then grieve that loss. Right, we talked pretty extensively about grief last week. If you missed that, I would encourage you to go back and listen. But look, I had come to a point in this friendship a couple years ago. Again, I'm just carrying this through for the example. But I had come to a point where I was able to grieve the loss of my friend. But in a way, I had to grieve all these other lost relationships too. Like I had to come to terms with that I had really been hurt by those things. And it wasn't, even some of them were not necessarily that person's fault, but it still hurt me, right? And in grief, we go through this path of denial and anger and bargaining and depression and eventually come to the point of acceptance. Well, I had to grieve that way. I had to go through all that in order to come to a place of health. Grieving well is really important. It helps us move past our obsession with getting back to the way things used to be, which is probably never going to happen. right? It's probably impossible to get things to how they once were. But grieving well helps us move past that disappointment too. And grieving well includes us making sure we are walking through it with the Lord, with Jesus, right? Last week we talked about Psalm 23 and specifically verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Right? Like, look, the reality is we want God to take us out of our circumstances and remove our pain. Most of the time, he will not do that. Most of the time. He may not take us out of our circumstances, but he will walk with us through our circumstances. Right? So we need him. We need him. We need his presence as we acknowledge our reality and grieve the loss. Okay? So that's the second thing. The third thing is get connected. Get connected. The fact is we can't get through things on our own. We can't. We try, but it usually doesn't go well. Like, I needed people around me who I trusted, who I could talk with honestly, who would ask the hard questions and be willing to listen, who would help me work through this stuff that was stirring in me, who would love me through it, even when I wasn't handling things very well. Right? We all need that. Like, we're meant to do life together. So there's this passage in Ecclesiastes. And Solomon writes Ecclesiastes and is writing about all the vanity in life. But he says this. He says, again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other. In verse 9, he says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Right now, maybe you've heard this passage. It's often used in weddings, right? And the illustration is like, well, the three cords are like the man and the woman and God, and they're united together. And look, it's a good analogy, right? It's a good illustration. But this passage is actually about connection with others and friendship, right? Like, Solomon's saying, look, when somebody has no one else by your side, it's hard. It's scary. It's sad. It's difficult. Like, you can't go it alone. You need a good friend. Two people are better than one. But you know what's better than one friend? Yes, two, but what's better than that is a group of friends. Right? A group of friends. A whole group of good friends. But here's the thing, in order to have that connection, we have to build real relationships, right? Invest in them and prioritize them. Like, we've been trying to kind of step our game up a bit here at Portico in terms of connection. That's been one of the intentional efforts that we've had, and we've shared about that, like making sure we have connection opportunities after church. That's been a thing that we've really been doing, and that's been great. We've been trying to launch into some new small groups, women's group, youth group, young adult group, men's get-togethers, right? That sort of stuff. Relationships are so important to our mental health and our spiritual wellness, right? To both things. We just don't do well in life, in our spiritual journey, or even in our mental health if we don't have good, healthy friendships. Right? We need the support and encouragement of one another. If we aren't experiencing that, something's missing. Right? The question with that is, who are you walking with life through? You know, besides your spouse, if you're married, because they can't be your everything. I mean, you know, you can sing beautiful songs about that and it feels all romantic and everything, but they can't be everything for us. So who are you walking through life with? And we'll talk about this a little bit more in detail next week when we talk about Jesus and our loneliness. Right? So own your story, acknowledge and grieve your reality, get connected with others. Those are the first three steps. They kind of help set us up to start moving towards change. The fourth thing is change your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Because your actions are going to flow out of your thoughts and your beliefs. But here's the thing. You are the one who decides what you think and think about. Like, do you realize that? Right? Like, you can be intentional about changing your thought life and what you dwell on. Like, you can control your thoughts. So, sample exercise from the book, and I've kind of modified it for this morning, but just the first part is what he suggested. I want you all to picture a purple elephant in a yellow hat. All right? A purple elephant in a yellow hat. Able to do that? Okay, now, change the hat to a different color. You pick the color. Now change the animal to a different animal. All right? Raise your hand if you've got something in your mind. All right, I'm going to point to some people. Shout out what it is. Really loud. Gorilla in a green hat. Tiger in a green hat. Who else? Everybody put their hand down. Blue whale in a pink hat. Tiger in a white hat. Zebra in a blue hat. Chris. Purple hat tiger. All right. Look, everyone different, right? Everyone different. It's a simple illustration, but you control your thoughts. You control your thoughts. And I realize this is not necessarily the same as everything else that we go through in life, but you can take control over your thoughts. Anyone in here decide they weren't doing this because it's just dumb? Come on, raise your hand if that was you. All right, maybe no one did. But look, even if you did, that's okay. It still proves the point. You take control over your thoughts. Right? Now, it's not just as simple as that in life, but the principle applies, right? That's why Scripture says, Romans 2:12, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in the book, Switch On Your Brain, The Key to Peak Happiness, Thinking, and Health, Dr. Caroline Leaf, that'll be in the on the reference page, resource page, describes how our brain makes new physical connections when we intentionally think new thoughts. Like, God has designed us with the ability to literally change the physical structure of our brain in order to replace old thoughts. And we're transformed when we work to replace our faulty beliefs with new ones. We begin to think on the right things. And our new thoughts that come in, hopefully, are rooted in God's truth. This verse isn't up on the screen, but Philippians 4:8. Like, Paul writes this, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Right? There's the ability for us to be thinking about the things that are pleasing to God and that are all of this list. Right? God has given us that ability. Our minds get barraged all the time with thoughts and beliefs, many of them which are not in line with His heart and His will. Right? We need to focus our mind and our thoughts on the right things instead of the wrong things. So when I struggle with questioning my own self-worth, you know, in regards to this situation I've talked about, or when I wonder what's wrong with me, that some of the most important people in my life, people that I really cared about, have turned on me and left, quit friendships, left the church, whatever. Right? Like, I can choose to dwell on that the what's wrong with me part, or I can choose to dwell on the truth. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a child of God. He has lavished his love upon me. He loved me so deeply that he gave his son Jesus to die for me. As a child, I'm treasured among all the people of the earth. Right? These are just a few of the things that God's word says about me and about you. They are what is true, regardless of any insecurities or thoughts or beliefs that keep stirring in our minds. It requires an intentional effort to focus our thoughts in the right direction, but we can change them. We can change them. We can change our thoughts. And in doing so, we begin to see things differently, and that allows us to take the last step. Change our actions. Change your actions. Like we have to ask ourselves, once I do all these other steps, what difference is that going to make? And the answer is this. Well, it depends on what actions we take. Like, again, with the example, I know I have this longing for deep friendships, right? That's a good and healthy thing. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Right? So I've experienced some hurt in my lost friendships. I realize that now. Now I have choices to make in how I move forward. Right? Like I can just passively lament that I don't have them. That's one option. I can sit in that anger and that hurt that others have caused me. That's another option. I can avoid connecting deeply with people because it went badly before. Right? Now living that way might seem safer. It might prevent me from getting hurt again, but guess what? It also increases the likelihood that I go without the friendship that I long for. So that all is one path I could go down, but I can choose a different path. I can take a risk and start again with new friendships. I can choose to initiate, invest in others. I realize it comes down or comes along with the possibility that I could be hurt again. Or that I could be let down again. But I also know it's the only path that I have to the friendship that I long for. Right? The choice, that's up to me. Whichever choice I make, those actions will shape and determine my future. Right? They're going to shape and determine my future. Right? Own your past, change your future. So those are the steps from the book, and I'm going to stop there in regards to that this morning. Next week, we'll look again specifically at maybe how some of these things apply to loneliness and look at Jesus and our loneliness. That's the theme for next week because it kind of flows nicely into that topic. But I want to close with this. Jesus, and here's maybe the one point takeaway that you can pull from me. Jesus will be with us in our journey. Right, as we go through these things, Jesus will be with us in our journey. God is transforming us and changing us into the godly person he wants us to become. Like, he's always working on us. Change is never easy, whether it's opening up to new and deeper friendships, like I've been talking about, whether it's battling an addiction, whether it's moving through life with anxiety or depression and so on. Like, look, it's hard. And change is, wow, can feel overwhelming. And if we turn and walk away from God, look, he still pursues us at least to a point, but whenever we're moving in the direction he desires us to be heading in, he is going to be with us in our journey. Right? Just an encouragement of passage from the Old Testament that I read this week. Asa was king over God's people. He was given a task, get rid of all the idols in the land. There was nothing complicated about that task. It was very straightforward. But that was not going to be easy. It would take hard work. There would be resistance. And God spoke to him through a prophet that told him, look, God's going to be with you so long as you're seeking the Lord. And then the prophet said this, 2 Chronicles 15:7. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Your work shall be rewarded. And I realize this is not a direct correlation to the things we're talking about this morning. Like, that's not specifically what this passage is. But the encouragement, I feel, is the same. Seek the Lord in your struggles, in various areas of mental health, right? Seek his direction each step of the way. And take courage, right? Don't let your hands be weak. Your hard work will be rewarded. Now, we don't always know exactly what the reward will look like. But we can be sure we'll receive it one day, and it will be worth it in the end. Be confident in this, that the one who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it, right? So take courage. Your work shall be rewarded. Jesus will be with you in the journey. He will walk with you through this, and he will walk with me through it as well. All right, we're going to pray and close with a song of worship. Father God, I know that in mornings like this, sometimes the information is a lot. But I trust that there are things that we've talked about this morning that you've stirred in our hearts. Maybe a particular point, maybe the whole thing, maybe the process. Maybe there was a story that just resonated that has stirred something in us that we know we need you because of that. Like, it's just screaming at us like, hey, Jesus, I need your help. I need to run to the Father. Lord God, this morning, we pray that these things that we've talked about would just be a launch point for change in our lives. But not just change for the sake of change or for the sake of some process that we go through, but because it's making us more like who you want us to become. I pray this morning that whatever issues, struggles, challenges, losses, hurts, griefs, whatever things that have been affecting our hearts and stirring us up in ways that are just bringing trouble to our life, we want to begin to lay that at your feet, to begin to walk through this process, and we ask you to lead us through, that we could own our stories, that we'd be able to examine and grieve our reality where it just doesn't meet up, that we would jump into and develop friendships where we can work through this and we can love others for who they are, they can love us for what we're struggling with. And Lord, where our thinking is wrong, help us to surrender that to your truth, to your word, to focus on that, to believe on that. And that ultimately, when we begin to think right, when we begin to realize these things, that we can take actions that move us toward the life you want for us. And thank you, Jesus, that you care about all this stuff. You care about, not just in general, but you care about every specific aspect of what goes on in our heart and in our life. And you long to walk with us through it. So we just turn our hearts and our attention to you and know that you are a God who is just continues to be faithful to walk with us in this world and in our journey. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for caring about these things more deeply than even we do. We pray this all in the name of Jesus.
For listening to the podcast of Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.